Welcome to episode 109 of the Planet Wormwood podcast.
Definitely.
I am Wormwood Plays, joined with me as always by Mega Wormwood and the Black Worm. I don't know where
the
I'm
black,
going.
No, that, you're absolutely
no,
right.
Going I all am names. Yes.
The Black Worm.
Story before Worm and just Bones. How about that?
Yeah,
bones.
How are you possibly going to do Bones? Yeah. Drywood?
And just Bones.
Drywood 81? No.
Yeah. But this week we are joined by a very special guest who happens to be a pretty cool guy.
Some might say, a lot of don't.
So, welcome, cool guy. Thank you for joining us.
Woohoo! I appreciate it for you guys having me, man. And first of all, as a community member, I love what you guys do. Every week, drive conversation. It's fantastic. So, thank you for that.
Oh, appreciate that. Yeah,
thank
of course.
You.
Great to be here, man.
That was totally worth the $5 that I paid
well,
him to say.
That's totally good
story
content,
under
man.
The table, dude. That means you don't talk about it.
Oh, shit. On in.
Okay.
I actually know cool guy the most as... Oh, hey, look, it's cool guy in my game of Rumble right now or whatever.
I think I've only played you like three times.
It's only happened a couple times.
Is that why cool guy
Xbox.
Got into the Skype chat and he said, GG, sorry for the bags, big fan?
Right? GG just played you.
Cool guy has ended the call.
Yes.
Yeah. Good times.
Excellent, excellent. So there's plenty to talk about this week.
There's
isn't
so
there?
Much to talk.
Oh
my!
I love hearing you say that. It gives me anxiety the whole concept of talking about this patch. But I love when there is things to talk about.
Yeah, man,
it's good
yeah.
for shows.
But the question is, where do we begin? Fallout, you're really good at itemizing things. And
am
stuff.
I?
You are.
Yes.
So
I don't get it.
What should we start nipping away at first to get the ball rolling?
Here's what I'm going to do. Curveball. Okay, there's plenty to talk about for the February patch. But real quick, I think it's important that we get it out there. So that right now, going on this past weekend and this coming Saturday, is the Destiny Championship Series, which is a new competitive PvP series done in association with Farcog, PvP Legends, and Planet Destiny. And it's a 4v4 sort of tournament ladder kind of thing. And if you want more information on that, you can go to www.pvplegends.com. You can register, and the next round of qualifiers is February 25th. It is really freaking fun. I was watching a whole bunch of matches this Saturday. I don't know if you guys got a chance to check out. I think Bones and I were watching Dr. Lupo play.
Mr. Loop.
Mr. Loop. And that was super fun.
Yeah, I was watching that too. That's right. Yeah. I've messaged at you, Megan, Fallout, so
you
what the hell is this?
You gotta step on my toe.
Fucking in the
right
Twitch
the
chat, I said, OMG, right Fallout plays, I love your videos.
That's right, you did say that.
In the fucking chat, don't act like you didn't see me. All right.
And Fallout, don't forget, spiel. There's going to be updates and recaps on Crucible Radio every other week.
There you go.
If you don't know what's going on, you want to hear who's rising to the top and who is... battling it out in the championships, and then Fallout, you yourself are doing a sort of a top 10, top 5 best plays of the week kind of thing going on.
I'm going to be doing really a little commentary.
Awesome.
Yeah,
man.
Pretty hype. So again,
just like we got a real league. It's amazing.
I've been making videos all weekend, so I'm going to have to watch the past podcasts.
There you go.
It's okay. Just as exciting.
But yes, I've been doing a bunch of fours. It's super fun. I think with the recent February patch, despite... It's like weird. The patch is affecting every playlist differently. Do you get that feeling?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
really different depending on what you play. But I've been doing fours, and they're a blast. So I'm really excited to watch how the championship series pans out. I think it's going to be awesome.
Nice. Yes.
Absolutely.
There you go.
That's a good, maybe a place to jump off from, because I think one of the biggest things besides weapons, the change to special ammo, and I think that's what we're talking about when we say it affects different game modes. And I feel like that's, you know, it's always been the case, or maybe, elimination is so different that it feels very different. They have to do some slight tweaks there, but that's very noticeable this time around that, and, you know, Bungie has constantly mentioned, like, we want you to feel the same when you go anywhere in Destiny, whether you're doing a strike or a raid or the Crucible, we want things to feel and work the same. But then you get stuff where you realize, like, wow, this plays so differently.
You haven't killed Axis with your
Crucible.
Wormwood yet? I don't understand.
Try. Working on that.
Wormwood
montage.
Is the raid boss now.
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's been very different across many game modes in the Crucible. Very, very interesting this weekend with Trials, I think.
Hasn't that been refreshing, though? Having things so different, you know?
Yes.
Like, it's been like...
Absolutely.
I mean, I couldn't get my head around it at the beginning. I'm like, wow, you know, this is a very bold change.
On the one hand, I'll say the gameplay's been very different. On the other hand, the community and their feelings toward the gameplay seems to have just sort of shifted its voice toward other things.
This is a good point.
The No Land Beyond. Yeah. Nerf it right now.
Radical change. Like, it always, as we know, I mean, we know this, I wouldn't say better than anybody else, but we've had our big dose of it taking over this podcast when everyone went their separate ways. They all went their separate ways at the same time. So it was a very radical change, and still we're feeling that you know, unrest, you know, like in it's got smaller over the years, but like such a big change does cause, you know, like a kicking of the sand and the dust and all that kind of stuff. But the dust eventually settles. That's the point.
It's true. Strong opinions on it.
Yeah. I just like that I see the same like memes, but now instead of like every slot being a Matador, it's just every slot's a Wormwood on someone's gear.
It depends on what you play. I actually brought up a bunch of numbers. I was like really excited, like going to this podcast. Story and I think we were talking last week about like, was I talking to you about like, will you let me know if the hand cannon meta changes or something like that? Or was I having this conversation with you?
I don't remember. You could have dreamed it. You might have.
I have a spreadsheet here in front of me. I did testing on damage drop-off for hand cannons, which I wanted to talk about later. But I was actually looking at the usage numbers. You want to hear something crazy?
Yeah, man.
Of course you
do.
Okay, I'd love to. So according to Trials Report, if you want to go to the Trials Report website, right meow, they are analyzing the weapon types across Trials for the weekend, and sidearms are a whopping 53% of all special weapon kills across the board. That is
surprise.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
53%. And you might think, wow, like again, Wormwood is literally taking over the meta. But then it depends on what game type you look at, because I also brought up Guardian.gg and I was looking at Skirmish, and King Matador sits atop his mighty throne with 9% of all special weapon kills, followed by the Wormwood at only 2.9%.
Really?
So wrap your brain around that one, boys.
It also depends on whether or not you realize that the Iron Wreath is a better sidearm than the Wormwood.
Yes. Some of us can't get the Iron Wreath.
Iron Wreath, but like, I think the Wormwood, because it's vendor, it's just a vendor thing. Yeah. You can buy it straight off, isn't it?
That's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
And it's very good. As a sidearm, it's a very good one.
So, cool guy.
What's up?
What have you noticed in terms of... Let's talk about 30,000 foot view first. I wanted to mention that I've seen a lot of community members really split on the patch. I've seen people putting posts on Reddit. Triple Rec had a post on Reddit saying, like, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. Really love the post. There's obviously a little room for improvement, but overall, he really enjoyed it. MTash has been raving about how he really enjoyed the patch. And then there are other players who are so frustrated. They think that it missed the mark. They have Twitch clips of them deleting their guardians, and they're like, I'm done.
Wow.
LOL.
Cash me out. I'll be back in Destiny 2. And it's like, wow, I guess you guys really didn't like the changes.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too. It's either you love it or you hate it, right?
Yeah. It's so divided.
It's like, meh, it's all right. You know? I love it. I love
like it
what
so
they've
far?
Done with it. Yeah, I do. Of course, there's room for improvement. But I noticed, like, I play with my wife a lot, right? It depends on the player, too, because one player will go from, all right, Thoros Regime, we'll move to the 111 Last Word and Thorn, okay, we'll move to the Red Death, and so on and so forth. Meanwhile, we're here, and player number two is like, hold on, they nerfed the Hopscotch, right? So they're just having that transition switch and different types of play styles. It's tough for a lot of people, you know, so I get that. But this particular one, I think the gunplay feels good, and Destiny's all about gunplay, so... Yeah.
Same here.
What was your setup before the patch, and what have you been playing the most since the patch? Has it changed at all?
I mostly go Gunslinger, man. Honestly, I probably went Night Stalker. I mean, a lot of people go Night Stalker. You can't go wrong with Night Stalker, right?
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So, but now I definitely go a lot of Gunslinger. And you're seeing a lot more there.
Definitely.
This initial game's really good right now. So
yeah, mm-hmm. It got a really kind of indirect buff with all the changes, and you got the Chain of Woe that increases stability and stuff like that, and you can just rack up precision
Chain
kills
of Woe
with your hand cannons.
Trance, yeah.
Yeah, those, yeah. Those two.
And another one that's really interesting, man, is Scavenger right now, because every 60 seconds you get that, and you get the primary bricks. If you throw on a Monte Carlo, just have some fun. It's not like a world beater, but if you get that going, that's a fun class, man. Right, you can't even count how many knives you throw. So
yeah,
really fun.
I'll take that.
There you go.
And, you know, when it comes to the current meta, of course, this is the first week of the patch. So there's a lot of people out there using a lot of different things. And I've certainly noticed I don't see a lot of complaints about primary play. Most of the complaints I see are from people who are clutching certain Metador 64s and saying the game is ruined. And now, not to say that this patch is perfect. There are definitely some things that need to be fixed with it.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed the primary play. I've enjoyed the way that it's shaken up the Crucible. Just going in and seeing and being killed by a plethora of different items. I got killed by a hard light yesterday.
We're
still using hard light.
That's something to put in the diary.
Makes me smile. Yeah. Dear diary, best day ever. Killed by hard light. You know?
February 20th was killed by hard light. Knocked me for six.
Felt good. Made me smile. And
took the Boolean Gemini out today. Had a good time. Ooh. So
another underrated gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ready dance machines. Blade Dancer, man's fun. With the agility buff. What is it? One way or another? One way?
Yeah.
Good. I haven't played any trials yet. And I heard that's kind of where the madness is going down. Yeah, I'm going to play probably on Monday. I've watched plenty of people. I was watching my buddy Fun Police going in and playing. And it's just really quick. Like everyone is... I thought it was going to be slow and campy because it's Black Shield. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when they said it was Black Shield, I was like, oh, Jesus. Yeah. Here we
Let's
go.
Say That's that about fault. Trials before anything else about Trials. Black Shield is better with this meta than it was in the past.
Oh,
100%. Yeah.
Really?
It's a
Absolutely.
Dislike map. I don't mind it, but I was like, ooh, this is a different feel on this map. Like you said, it's the shorter rounds is such a good change in my opinion. And it made just standing and staring down that middle hallway not something that can happen for a minute and a half in one go.
That's the number one best change to Grace Trials at the moment, the shorter round times. It almost like it increases the pace straight off the bat. It makes the camping in spawn just that little bit less a viable strat. I mean, you'll still get people that don't move from their spawns with the old Skaris charging up the supers and stuff. But I don't know, like, how many cards we played? Two cards early yesterday
morning?
We
played two cards.
Yeah, and...
We got through.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was really apprehensive about the whole Black Shield thing with the new meta. But I was like, whoa, this is amazing. And, like, I was really worried about, you know, Skaris' issue, but... Did we really encounter that? I mean, sure, people were using it, but was it like breaking or changing the game like it was or could potentially have done beforehand?
Well, we played outside a lot, right? So I think we were the entire time of two cards, maybe 30 seconds, and that's just like transitioning, right?
Yeah.
And like you were saying earlier, I mean, the doors were a big issue and previously. Yeah. And now, like, because you would get a pick and there'd be an orb there, you go to try to secure the orb. And all of a sudden, there he is coming right at you with his Juggernaut shield. And now you're just kind of waiting for to dodge grenades and possibly some snipers. It played a lot better.
Yeah.
I love the way it played. And pretty much when we did go outside and the other players went outside, depending on who we kind of pushed up a little bit, but most of them went to that outside special. So it was kind of because they want their special ammo. So it was really easy kind of pinching them in there, I thought. So it depended on the player.
Did you guys notice a lot of No Land Beyonding going on? Again, I haven't done any trials yet, but I did look at the numbers. There does seem to be a lot of No Landing going on.
I saw that as the one in my hand.
Like, I didn't notice
it. Got him.
I didn't notice it too much. I played a few teams. I played one card last night, and it was actually like the easiest flawless that I've ever gotten, like playing with people, because I don't I was playing with Axarian, who plays with the Von Police, who's like amazing. So it was like easy mode, to begin with, but like normally we run into a lot of, we ran into a lot of struggles weeks prior, but this week wasn't bad at all. I saw a few No Land Beyonds, a little bit more than I saw Icebreakers, but in general, mostly primary fights is what it seemed like, which is fun.
Excellent.
For me as a player, I enjoy it, but I will bring it back to how you said you were watching the Fun Police. I feel for people like him because it's less, less clips for him. There's less entertaining moments that he can make.
You don't have a montage out now?
Yeah. I know.
Sorry, like, man. No one wants to see you three-tapping people with the punch.
Exactly. That's like he's so upset because he's just forced to like, okay, I'm killing everybody and it's easy for me right now, but it's not fun to watch because you don't have like that, the enemy scumbags that are camping in the back with their scories and then he rushes in and chaperones them and he feels like a hero. That's my only problem, really, right now with the patch, is I can't be
number one
entertained.
Problem is that Shake Fun Police can't feel like a goddamn hero. Well, I'm writing a strongly worded letter to Bungie as we speak.
See, I'm
still
very
a hero.
Pro,
in
I'm very
my mind.
Pro. He is a hero. I'm very pro patch. I'm just saying, I feel for the people who rely on being entertaining.
Sure.
With how they kill people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna
give credit where credit is due. I remember we were sitting here last week, you know, two nights or whatever it was before the patch went live, and I was a little nervous. You guys remember? I was like, it's cool that they're buffing a couple of guns, and I'm glad that, you know, Suro's regime gets a little love because it doesn't get enough love. But I was worried because I didn't want autos, especially Suro's, to like take over the meta. I didn't want that to come back because, I don't know, I didn't like that. But
Because
why? I don't know. I don't hold the holding down the trigger meta. That's not the meta that I'm down with.
Yeah, me too.
So Tuesday comes.
What?
You want me to elaborate on that?
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, sure.
Let's get some detail.
I just don't like auto rifles as a top tier weapon. I like, and they had their time in the sun. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, hand cannons have had a really long time in the sun.
Yep.
Yeah. Hand cannons are always in the sun.
Auto rifles in general, I like seeing intense gunfights where like you're doing pop shots from behind the corner. I like rewarding players for being very accurate, and I think with a weapon like Suro's, you don't have to be as accurate. You just have to kind of hold the trigger down and maintain the course.
You don't get into hot auto rifle Destiny cover mechanic gunfights all the time.
I don't know. I remember when the auto rifle meta was the meta, and I used the Vanquisher, the new Monarchy gun, and that was really good freaking auto rifle. But when the meta finally changed off that, I was like, I kind of think it's better this way.
I
like rewarding players for being very accurate rather than just kind of just hold down, good to go, move on. I don't know, it's just one man's opinion.
I'm with you on that, because like I've probably said this too many times, but like I think it's a good point that the auto rifle mechanic in Destiny is very straightforward. There is no like not too much science behind it. Burst firing and tap firing doesn't give you any kind of refocusing the accuracy or anything like that with like it did with other games. Like, say, I always use Battlefield 3 as an example. The auto rifle gameplay or assault rifle gameplay in that had a very addictive mechanic where you had to burst and tap fire. We don't have anything like that with auto rifle gameplay in Destiny at all. It's literally just drop the hammer, hold down the button. You know, if you can burst and tap fire, but you're probably putting yourself at a disadvantage to it. So it's quite a straightforward thing. And like pulse rifle gameplay, it's a burst, you know, but again, it doesn't really matter how quickly you try to fire, or there's no, you know, outside mechanics other than, okay, click, 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 pull, 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 you know, that kind of thing.
So that was just my, you know what I mean? Like, I remember the Vanquisher meta. I remember the Suro's regime meta. It was interesting. I'm glad that they had their time in the sun. I was kind of worried that would, like, blow away the usage numbers.
I suppose the question would be, if they were brought back, or if they were increased, because the argument at the moment, or the bone of contention for a lot of auto rifle fans, is that they haven't been buffed enough to be, like, as competitive as they'd like. However, I mean, I've used a bunch of different auto rifles over the last week, and I've had a lot of fun. Yeah, you're going to get outshot by a good hand cannon user for sure. I think that's like a given. However, like in sixes, they do stand up quite well still. They're not the top choice for sure. But like, I don't know, would buffing them a slight little extra bit really make them a problem again? And I'm with you, Fall, out there. I wouldn't want them to be like the king of the hill again.
I mean, I'm glad that you can use them in Clash or whatever and not feel like a total deady. You know what I mean? That's I think it's a good place.
Yeah. Story's being modest. He had a wrecking ball today with a Genesis chain in Trials, right?
Oh, so, yeah.
Don't let him fool you.
Oh, right.
I like at least that they can hold their own now. Because before, especially the high impact ones, you didn't have it. It just didn't have the time to kill. And it's an extra bullet, but that matters, right?
Yeah.
In time to kill. So they're at least, you can use them. They're usable. I enjoy it.
The reason I ask you to justify that is because I think a lot of people are happy because the best guns and their favorite guns got a lot better. And now they can keep using that. And it's like, oh, great. The gun I was going to use every day of my life anyways, IS Luna or Palindrome, now is just more effective and more efficient. So I think it's a weird little thing to be like, yay, we did it, when really there's no difference in weapon diversity, especially at the top level of play. I'd love it if Destiny existed where I could watch the DCS every week and see really good players with auto rifles, scout rifles, pulse rifles, and hand cannons. But no, I'm still going to watch tournament level play using only hand cannons. And that's been true for months, regardless of the last few major balance matches.
Totally understand your point. And I agree with your vision. If I were to tune in on the DCS and see like a variety of weapons being used, I'd be a happy guy. That'd be really cool. I would love it if there was like some, it's really, really hard to balance all primaries, because in my opinion, you need to balance them to all get within a point where they're like just frames within each other of time to kill. I mean, that would be awesome if I could just see total variety of weapons. Everyone would do well, but I just didn't want to see like Servos regime, like 50% usage, everything else.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, we don't need anything to just go suddenly so far in one direction.
Okay. Would you say the class abilities and the map sizes all have a big effect on which weapons we're going to choose or gravitate towards in terms of effectiveness?
Yeah, definitely.
My primary choice has definitely been impacted by that a lot lately. I think I would love to use a scout more, but you just put it away on certain maps. It's kind of silly.
Yeah.
Hand cannon is probably the one where I'm thinking it doesn't matter the map. I just equipped Palindrome and I'm not going to change it once I see, oh, incoming, we're going into whatever map. But I've definitely taken off the last word, and I've definitely put away scout rifles in response to certain maps and stuff like that. So
I've actually noticed that I will take off the hand cannon a little bit more often now because of the range fall off on it being worse. Mm-hmm. There are times now where I notice I'm not getting kills that I'm used to getting at range. Like, I'll shoot somebody and be like, oh yeah, he's going to die because I'm just used to it. Like, how much damage he has. And then I'm like, and then he just has that sliver left. I'm like, fuck, because I'm just so used to it being one way. Yeah. So I will occasionally now take off the hand cannon on long range stuff, so that's kind of nice.
I think they did a good job with effective range on them. I really do.
I'm not upset about it. Yeah.
No. Again, I was worried going in because I didn't know what the meta was going to be, and then I was like experimenting, going through guns. I was like, yeah, this gun feels okay, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna be a basic bitch. All right, I'm gonna be white bread. I'm gonna put on my vendor Palindrome. Because who cares? Why not?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, within a game, I was like, this is amazing. Like, hand cannons feel so good right now.
Day one of the patch, I load in with Fallout. He's got the Palindrome and a Matador on. It's just, nothing changed.
It's just another day in the life. And, I mean, I put on a couple sidearms because it's fun, and I've enjoyed mixing it up and just seeing what guns are enjoyable to use now and, you know, what guns you can get away with not feeling like a deady when you put it on.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm still using Matador Pally. So
that's also my favorite comparison, is to be able to just not change my loadout and play Monday and then play on Tuesday and see how the exact same setup feels. Because I don't really know if I get anything if I'm just like, well, I'm going to equip Suros Regime in a sidearm and switch to Stormcaller and do a totally different setup. Then I can't really tell what nuances have occurred. But yeah, I'm still using shotgun every once in a while.
What about you, TB, what's your bread and butter now these days, eh?
So because I'm a filthy casual, you know, I have to jump through a bunch of different weapons to test out what's working right now and what isn't. And while auto rifles have definitely been given, you know, a nice buff there, the high impacts in particular are feeling pretty good right now.
Mm-hmm.
While the mid impact didn't really get touched, they're kind of in a better spot because pulse rifles are worse. which is kind of funny. The nerf to the
flinch game.
Yeah, the flinch game is down. Those fast rate of fire pulses kind of have a bit of a harder time competing at mid range, which allows stuff like the Monte Carlo, the Red Spectre, to really shine a little bit. They're still not quite as good as I would like them to be, but they're definitely in a better spot now. But really, ultimately, I have swapped back. I'm back on hand cannons because that's my favorite class. They're still the crispiest.
They're
very, very good.
They're
so very good. Fun. And guess what? Hawk Moon slaps now. It slaps.
Hawk Moon is actually usable. Yeah.
So happy. I'm so happy the Hawk is back up in the sky. I've been having a lot of fun with that bad boy. The caca, man. Yeah. Dropping those those bonus damage.
If you mind
shots.
Me asking, what do you guys think about Hawk Moon and Thorn? Those are the main two. And last word, we'll throw the last word in there. You know, the top three, right? The kings.
All
right. Sure. A lot of people are wanting the buffs to Hawk Moon, give it a little bit more range, but I'm like, well.
It's such, fine line that you dance on, because if you give Hawk Moon that extra range to put it into like the competitive category with all the other hand cannons with their high range, then it's just no debate. It's just lights out. You take Hawk Moon every time. Because why would I use a Palindrome when I can literally two-tap you with magic bullets? Why would I not do that?
An enormous mag with three possible... lucky bullets. Yeah. I agree, Fallout. That's a good trade-off. Is like, all right, if you want to use a lot of luck in the chamber, you got to get just a little closer, so it's kind of a risk-reward. Thorn, I think, will always be that hated thing, and I think they're going to keep it in check forever until it's gone, until they say, you don't get to use any of these weapons anymore. But I do appreciate that Thorn connects on that first shot. Because Thorn has always been tough for me to use, even back in the day. Thorn was it's just like a weird gun to aim for me, and the recoil direction or whatever. But I appreciate Thorn getting an accuracy buff as well, because at least I can land a follow-up shot and actually use it. But yeah, you make either of those guns any better, and suddenly we're back into like...
That's my dangerous territory, man.
Yeah.
They have their place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I personally don't think Hawk Moon needs any more range, because like you said, if it gets any more range, if it starts competing with the 62 range hand cannons like the Palindrome, the Aya Saluna, suddenly it's better than both all of them. It's going to be the best hand cannon in the game in that situation. I think it could probably use a little bit of a stability buff, maybe just a small one to help, center their sights a little bit more for shots.
For sure.
But here's the part where I become the final villain of this podcast. Once again,
oh boy.
Thorn needs its range back. The range nerf it got a few patches ago.
Send it back.
Send it. Give me those enhanced headshot boxes. Give me my range back. I will say that for Thorn.
You know what, dude?
Come at me, chat.
We're going down the fire together, man. Let's do it.
I could vote for that.
Got you, brother.
Yeah,
it's just because Thorn, that initial accuracy buff is great because it allows that first shot to connect a lot more often. But Thorn still feels like an underpowered hand cannon to me right now. It's weird because Thorn always performed differently than other hand cannons. It's like base range and the way its damage fall off worked. Thorn performed like a hand cannon with rangefinder, which is why even after hand cannons got nerfed in Taken King, Thorn still felt very good for a while. You couldn't get your two taps anymore, but range wise, it could still compete really, really well.
Yeah.
And I think it got like, a 25% damage reduction a few patches ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they could probably scale that back a little bit. Maybe not the entire 25%, but a little bit. Definitely a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good call, Link. I'm right there with you, buddy. Good call.
Like I said, come at me. I said it. Buff Thorn.
And then you're seeing the icebreakers and a couple of vectives every now and then. And I've always been on the side, you got to make specials good. I like that the icebreaker is pretty strong, to be honest with you, and I'll tell you why. Because if it's strong, it takes a Hawk Moon out of their hands. It takes an exotic. But that's why I asked the question about the three hand cannons, because... Say they were good. I mean, that would take an icebreaker out of somebody's hands. That would take an invective. I don't think they were there yet. I mean, it's kind of a honeymoon phase with the meta, right? But that's where I was going with that.
I think last word really kind of hurts in this meta, because you're going to have more primary versus primary engagements, and you don't have a lot of time to get special. You've spent less time with special. It just means that almost everything outranges it. And you really have to play close, which can be a tough thing to do. I mean, if there's a hyper-aggressive player who's just all about blinking forward on top of someone and hit-firing that, then you can make it work. Or if you're just playing on Thieves' Den, it's probably fine. But I've noticed that Last Word is is tough. There's a lot of scenarios where I'm just getting outranged by other mm-hmm. primaries. And especially in 6v6, I can try to get closer and I can, you know, slowly work my way up and be strategic in my positioning. But there's a good chance that someone's shooting at me from some other angle, too. Mm-hmm. So it hurts a little bit.
Or wormlets in your face.
Yeah. Or well, that. I was gonna say that the last word is definitely probably at a disadvantage against other primary hand cannons. But it's like the mm-hmm. only gun against a sidearm that I feel like I die a lot too close up. Like it's the only one that I worry about if someone has that on their primary. And I have
yeah. And I would almost love it if it worked a little better. I've always thought like it's a good. I want it to be a thing where if someone is running right at you with a shotgun and you're just holding down the trigger, that by the time they get mm-hmm. close, they're dead. And I think it would be okay if it just absolutely destroyed. It's the same thing I want from auto rifles, really, as like a low skill defensive move to take something and say, like, I'm not trying to aggressively push you, but if you come at me, at least I have something to defend myself and just be like, just shoot them as they charge. But it's still a little all over the place.
Well, this might be kind of unpopular, but I found all the exotic hand cannons, like, well, the top three, Last Word, Thorn, and Hawkmoon, nowhere near as reliable or as crispy as the legendaries, you know, the Pally and the Luna. Yeah. Like
because they aren't.
I wanted to main Hawkmoon for a while, but every time I take it out, I find that it lets me down. Whereas the Luna and the Pally won't. So I will stick to those. And it's a shame. I find it's a shame, but I know there must be difficult things to try and get up there with everything else. But for me, still those exotic hand cannons are still fun guns. They're not reliable enough for me to start maining them again, but. I don't know.
I think that's actually perfect for them in some ways, though, because like an exotic doesn't need to be the best thing, but they play differently, at least. And they're like, they're usable and they're fun to use because they play differently, but they're not like, they're not the main thing you use. Like, it just makes sense to me in some ways for an exotic gun to be. Even though, they used to be the best things ever in the world, and they're not now. But
I don't mind with a legendary being higher up than an exotic. I know a lot of people are like, well, the exotic is exotic. Like, it should be, like, top of the food chain. But, like, I don't know. I don't really care that much.
Like,
I mean,
it's like, should Zalo be the best primary to use?
I think it would be really interesting if we got more variety in legendary weapons in general. Like, if there were more perks that would do more for how you use the gun. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because then you could go into a game and it's like, okay, well, the exotics are fun and we like them, but like we're in a competitive game right now. We got these legendary hand cannons, but which perks do we want to use? Right now, there's like a very limited pool of like, I want that one or that one. Otherwise, the gun is literally trash. Like, I just wish there were like a whole bunch. And maybe on exotics too, that would be cool if there were like different ways that you could. I mean, we have that on some exotics right now, like Cirrus Regime. You can do the focused fire. You can do spinning up. I think we need more things like that in the game.
Mm-hmm. I haven't used Kvostov. I mean, have you guys used it?
Sure. I haven't got around to that, but I have a friend that's been telling me, you should pick this thing up, man. If you think Cirrus is good again, try this.
That was actually my joke theory, was that Kvostov was going to be really good after the patch. I have not tried it because I just assumed it wouldn't be.
But right next to Fabian strategy.
Maybe,
right?
Maybe it is, but literally no one has touched the gun. Everyone's using the Wormwood. Mega is going to discover the new meta tonight.
Uh-huh. I know the secret meta. I don't share with you guys. All right.
What a bastard.
I was kind of hoping, not strongly, which is why I say kind of, but I was wondering if the other archetypes of hand cannons would be usable at all. The problem is they often don't hit max range, which is really the key in all these engagements. But I'd love to see, like, what if I could max out the range on that Trials hand cannon, and requires me to land more shots, but we have a similar time to kill or something like that. But stick with what you've been using. It's still the best choice.
Yeah. Oh, I got. Do you want to talk about numbers on hand cannons? I totally forgot. I have numbers.
Go on, man.
Give us the numbers.
I am excited for the numbers because I am a fucking loser. I swear to God, I was talking to Story about this. Was I not talking to Story
about how you're a fucking loser?
About how I'm a loser? I was talking to Mega about how I'm a fucking loser.
Yeah,
I was talking to Story.
That's every
about
day when I call him.
calls me in the morning. It's like 7 a.m. Good morning. Yes.
Loser.
Wake up,
loser.
You fucking loser.
Yeah, loser.
Click. This kid. Anyway. Okay. If I didn't talk to Story about it, I must have talked to somebody about it, about different variations on your eyes, Luna, or your palindrome. And is there anything else that's viable other than rifled barrel, which we've been using for a long time? And I've been playing fours with a couple of really solid people. I'm actually a sub on Ramblin' and Ninja with Noel's Destiny Championship Series team. So we've been doing a lot of scrims together.
I saw you. I saw you last night.
You see me in there?
I was like, look at this guy playing with these Hollywood big shots.
Those games are fucking white hot. I'm super happy that they asked me to be on the team. And we were in the game and we were talking about the hand cannons, and Ninja is hitting me with what I'm calling bro science. This is what I like. It's basically when you're like, oh, this feels really good. It's totally viable. And I'm like, well, did you like test it? It's like, well, no, it just feels good. That's bro science.
Yo, dude, so, you got to do this. It'll make your biceps incredibly shredded. It's just like, no, I'm not going to throw that weight against the wall in the gym a bunch of times. You made up
your
that
biceps
exercise.
Would be a little bit bigger if you did.
2%. Yeah. So we're talking bro science about braced frame on your hand cannon, which is, it gives you more stability. So I was like, that's really interesting. They were saying that on smaller maps, so think of like Cauldron, like a map that's really not very large. The majority of your PvP engagements, they're going to be like medium to kind of close range. You know what I mean? So can you get away with using something other than rifled barrels? So here are the numbers that I have. I had an IS Luna, and we have first non-range finder. So these are basic bitch IS Luna, no range finder. If you use rifled barrel, the damage drop-off point is 27.5 meters, give or take a few inches, 27.5. And if you use braced frame, 24.5 meters. So it's only a 3 meter drop.
Yep.
Drip.
Three meter drip drop.
Yep. Drop top.
In drop top.
God damn it.
Flip flop.
In damage drop off. In damage drop off.
No.
And then if you have rangefinder on that same weapon, rifled barrel, rangefinder, IS Luna, damage drop-off point, maximum range, 30 meters. And if you have braced frame, 27 meters, which is basically tied. Yeah, it's tied with a rifled barrel, non-rangefinder, IS Luna. Mm-hmm. So if you have rangefinder and braced frame, and you really want to like spam the hand cannon and have more stability control, you can get away with it if you have brace frame rangefinder and you're playing on a medium to small map.
Yeah.
Boom.
Guy that I play with very regularly, he's probably going to be listening.
For that. Yeah.
He's been using rangefinder brace frame for months and months and months and has sworn that that has always been the best choice for him on smaller maps. Yeah. No, like on smaller maps. And unfortunately, I've never had a brace frame rangefinder hand cannon to test. I've had a brace frame underdog or something like that, Luna, that was kind of interesting. But I think the reason why it gets the damage drop off, for sure, but like it's so much more stable, you can get lots more shots downwind quicker. So I think it's really interesting to see this surfacing now. I saw Ramblin's tweet yesterday and I saw Ninja's tweet response to that, that this is, you should try this out, this is really good, particularly in the you know, the sweats and the very competitive scene, because like I always thought surely something like that would be super effective in close quarter maps anyway, because you can get more shots out quicker, you know, now that the accuracy's been changed, you know.
I mean, it's just you get more control over the kick, you know what I mean? Sometimes when you're engaged in those really intense firefights, and if you miss one shot with the hand cannon, you're in trouble, because like if your enemy is perfect, then you're
and
dead.
The difference in kick is massive with brace frame. Like if you get two clips, rifle barrel, reinforced barrel, and then stick it up against the brace frame, it's such a massive reduction in like the muzzle kicking up to the air. So if you've got a vault full of Lunas that you've been keeping and you got brace frame, if you got brace frame rangefinder, you probably stumbled across a little nugget of love, you know.
Definitely comb through your vault.
Yeah, man.
You may have stashed a hand cannon away. Now's the time. Bring it out.
So basically, your testing found that rangefinder has basically the same effect as rifle barrel when it comes to damage fall off on those smaller
maps. It kicks it up like 3 meters or something like that. Basically,
that's
3 meters.
Super interesting.
And braced frame rangefinder is almost exactly the same, almost like a hair away from rifled barrel non rangefinder.
That's good enough for me.
You know what, people listening to this on iTunes are going to be like, what the fuck was that?
The best part is, I wrote that on the back of a D&D character sheet that I pulled out. It was the only piece of paper I could
remember.
For the guys listening, Mega just wrote on a paper, what a fucking nerd, on a piece of paper and held it up to his webcam. There you go.
Oh, Mega.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
My love for you runs so deep, my brother.
Same.
Let's make it really uncomfortable on the podcast right now.
Guys, start. All right, enough of this. Talk about more gun
talk
stuff.
Talk about other nerdy.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about like the grasp and the waltz, the clever dragon fire rate?
To be perfectly honest, haven't used it since the patch.
No.
I put one on to see if I could tell the difference right when the patch happened, like in the fire rate. I could tell. But I mean, I haven't actually used one to try to really kill anybody, so I can't say.
All I can say is during our trials cards, cool guy, all I could hear from you towards like the latter end of the both cards was, oh my God, this waltz. You got to try this waltz.
So I only like the sure shot, the sure shot on those types of weapons, man, as far as reticles go. But I hadn't used it really. I got it like it's a counterbalance third eye. That's kind of how it was. And, I think it's one of the only ones that can do. I think Cammy was telling me it's either quick draw or single point sling. It's the only one that can have that. So I'm kind of looking for that role, but you don't get the, I don't think you get the magazine nerf, right?
Nope.
No, it's still
it
like
was only for Grasp and Clever Dragon. It's almost like they forgot
it felt
about
good.
It.
Why?
It felt really good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it can't get like as high of stability, right? As the other one.
I think its base stats are a little
true.
Bit lower.
Yeah.
Clever Dragon and Grasp.
Nerf its magazine. Yeah.
I actually used my Clever Dragon for a game, and it seemed okay. In terms of the magazine change, I have Outlaw on mine, so I use Perfect Balance and High Cal, and it's like, okay, that works, because luckily I get a kill and I can reload fast. If not, I gotta fall back a little bit. I think the change to High Caliber rounds is noticeable and also very good. Definitely not experiencing that feeling of just like, blah, 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 like when someone starts shooting you and you can't aim at anything. And
wait, what's it like again?
It's like, blah, 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 blah. That's my impression of High Caliber
rounds. That's his bro
that
science version
of
it.
That's the bro science.
Love it.
What's up, everybody? This is Dry Bones. Welcome to another YouTube video where I'm going to talk about all the testing I've done with High Caliber rounds. So one time in a game, someone shot me and I was like, ow, ow. And then the other time, someone shot me and I was like, blah, 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 blah. That gun was OP.
Thunder strike that sub button.
Thunder strike it.
Speaking of, glad that didn't disappear completely, because I really love the Stormcaller melee, and I'm very happy it wasn't gone forever.
I had some friends singing "The End Is Nigh" who play Stormcallers, like they were done forever, and I was like, "It's not going to be that bad, guys." You're still...
Nope, Storm is real good.
Yeah,
Storm is real good. Right now.
You can definitely feel the difference in the melee range. Like
you can,
you're not cross mapping
well,
people with
he
your
He still
storm
sometimes
touchy.
Gets that animation where like he jumps like four meters and then does a thunder strike. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Yeah,
that's a thing.
The Halo
a
lunge. Yeah, the
it's gone from downtown to like across the block. Still really good. Still feeling it.
Still good though.
One of my friends said though is like the punch is only going to be barely better than like a Titan punch now. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
What Titan is he playing?
I know, right? All right. Jesus.
Barely better.
Are you talking about when they are Sunbreaker and they have the hammer punch? Like, is that what you mean? I can't remember what it's called. I don't play Sunbreaker.
Sun Charge.
There you go. Thanks, guys.
There you go.
I got you, fam.
Ugh. Dude, I'm having like nightmares from Sun Charge.
Yeah,
if we're talking about that, Sun Charge is so good right now.
It's gonna be worse. It's gonna be better or worse depending on what you play.
Yeah.
Let's talk about subclass stuff, and we'll the intended changes versus the unintended changes. Cool guy, what were your first impressions of the very minimal but noticeable?
I'll bring it up. Blade Dancer.
There we go.
Yeah,
bring that band-aid off.
So, all right. Coming out of Blink, we got the HUD, right? So you took away the ready up time. You kind of took away, I feel you have to give at least one of those back, because
yes,
they pretty much made it now that Blink is going to be just a movement ability. And I think what they wanted to do with taking away the HUD is just to stop that rush. Same thing with the jug. Like, I don't think that they're really promoting you just jumping at somebody. I mean, you can kind of do it with the Warlock, with the Fluffle, but I don't know. I think it's a little bit too much. I don't know about you guys.
Too much?
Or too long for the Blade Dancer.
I think that the Blade Dancer nerf is not enough, my friend.
Okay.
I think
where this is going.
I think Blade Dancer melee should actually heal the person that you melee.
Yes. That's what Hungering Blade should
call
do.
Call it the Mercy Blade.
Get already.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
the Mercy Blade.
Healed.
It's a support class now. You just go to your teammates and start
slapping them
with it.
Does anybody watch Futurama?
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody? Okay, there's an episode
What's that?
Where
Never heard
they
of that
find
show.
Okay.
What is this? What's this indie show that you
find a? They find like a cloud, which is basically, it has like the powers of God, and it's been watching episodes of Star Trek. It's like a huge Star Trek fan, and it brings the cast into the world. And they like want to reenact the show together, and he kills a red shirt. It's like the running joke in Star Trek that the red shirts get owned always. And so there's this body who's laying down there, and every time they have an argument with like this god cloud or whatever, he's like, "You doubt my power?" And then he like zaps the dead body with like lightning over and over. And then that's what I feel that like Bungie is doing to Blink. Like, why are you zapping this poor dead red shirt on the ground? So I feel like I have so few friends who use Blink in PvP.
Recovery is a big one. Recovery.
Yeah.
Just that alone. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, you guys feel kind of the same? Maybe a little bit in the ballpark? I don't know.
I think I have one friend who uses it, and they just use it so they can bitch about Bungie like nerfing it, honestly.
It's a viable use for it.
They seem to intentionally use things that they know are bad all the time.
That's actually...
I've never heard anyone do that.
Yeah.
Cough.
I've started Mining Blade again. Like, I'm not going to say that I agree with these changes, or I think that they have benefited or have ruined the subclass. I think that they were unnecessary. But I'm Mining Blade again now simply because I love the subclass. I didn't play it much in year one. In fact, I didn't really have a hunter until the beginning of year two. I stuck with my Warlock and Titan for the first time. I should have gone with it, but I'm still loving the neutral game. Blade still has a really effective neutral game. It's just, I think the perks surrounding the super Hungering Blade, those are the things that need work on it. Like, I don't know how many people have found this with Blade at the moment, that in the super, sometimes it seems to be pushing folks away when you swipe. Like, I don't recall that happening as much before this patch. But yeah, like, I've been maining it and enjoying it still. I agree with Bones. I don't think these changes to Hungering Blade are as bad as we thought that they would be. But I still don't think they were necessary. I don't think it's the problem that Bungie thought that it would be. I understand the reason behind that. They were like, okay, no shotguns. We need to do something about this. But it was like, there are other supers that are way more stronger than that anyway. And you could literally have left Blade and that the Hungering Blade perk alone, and there literally wouldn't have been an epidemic or a rise or an issue. I don't think anyone would have complained.
Blink is so baffling to me.
Somebody will always complain.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
No, so many players. It's got, you know.
Yeah. But I at least they're like the nerf to Hungering Blade, at least they're kind of up lessening the nerf to it, according to the most recent like notes. Like, it's going to get 58% more health back than it gives now. So that's something, I guess.
We should fill in the people listening at home.
There's so much to talk about. I don't even know how to do a cohesive.
If they don't know what the F we're talking about.
Yeah.
So Bungie had made a nerf to Hungering Blade, which is a perk where you're in your Blade Dancer super and you have low health. You cut somebody, you get the kill, and then boom, your health starts regenning right away. They were going to change that when you cut somebody, get the kill, you get a chunk of health back right away. It doesn't start regenning right away, but you get a nice fat chunk. And when they put that change into play, it accidentally affected like a dozen other health regenerating perks in the game. Like, they are all
basically
tied together And this was a big boo-boo, apparently. So
I don't know how you can make that kind of mistake at a certain level, but it's fine. I'm not gonna. I couldn't do it, but it's the type of stuff I always screwed up in programming classes. But I just assume that they're better than me. But it's fine. I get it.
So, like, I mean, the reason you're not programming is because you screwed
exactly.
up.
Yes, I do things like that. So I'm like, oh, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
Like, well, I love Bungie to death. I think they did a great job so far with a lot of the things in the patch. Primaries feel amazing, but you know. Got to be fair. Got to throw them just a little bit of shade, because they did say on the stream, they were like, we play tested the crap out of this.
Yes.
And I'm like,
that kind of seems like something you might have noticed.
Than that when I meleeed somebody with lifesteal, I was like, wait, what just happened? Like, my lifesteal didn't steal the way it's supposed to. So like, okay. So Cosmo tweeted out that there's like this thing going on in the forums. They're like, hey, we're making some changes to how health regen works, depending on what the perk is.
Yep.
So for each of these elements, they're going to keep the change, meaning that when you get the kill, you're going to get an instant chunk back instead of the instant regeneration process. But they're going to buff the amount of health that you get by 58%, which is pretty sexy.
Significant. Yeah,
And that applies to Hungering Blade, Red Death, Lifesteal, Transfusion, and Cauterize. And then
they're also removing the cooldown from Cauterize.
Yes.
Which is pretty. I'm going to have like nightmares about that. And then for the other perks, they are reverting the change, aka the mistake that was made to how health regenerates. And that applies to Surge Regime, no backup plans, Ward of Dawn, Apotheosis Veil, and Embrace the Void. So there you go.
Which is good, because in the case of the Embrace the Void change, that kind of broke the Voidwalker class, in my opinion. You know, that entire class was based around instantly getting your health back from every grenade and ability kill that you do. So having the Hungering Blade change apply to that, I've got a buddy of mine who is just a dedicated Voidwalker main. He was in tears, basically, change went into effect. It's like, I'm killing things, and I'm not getting my health back, and now I'm dead. RIP. So, you know, it's good that they're dialing this back for some of the abilities. Kind of interesting that they're taking away the cooldown for Cauterize. Open up that fresh wound. I guess. My boy Bones! I guess the reasoning behind that is because, you know, Hungering Blade doesn't have a cooldown, so why should Cauterize? And now since you're not immediately getting all of your health back, maybe it won't be as nightmarish as it was before December 2015. Because that was an interesting time.
Yeah.
Sunbreaker is like one of my favorite subclasses.
Yeah.
I think that could be an overall buff to the class, the cooldown on Cauterize. Yeah. I think if you get enough of a chunk, you're fine. One of the amazing moves on Sunbreaker is with Twilight Garrison, stick, dodge immediately, get your health back once it explodes, and you can do that and be aggressive with the grenades and really just dance around and things like that. And then, so that neutral game is fine. I mean, if there's two people shooting at you, you probably were going to die anyways. Maybe it gave you a little chance to survive. But what's going to happen is that super will be, once again, able to move forward constantly as long as the hammers are landing or the sun charge is landing. Because right now, there's definitely moments where you do have to stop and kind of consider your push or maybe delay it so you're going to get the next Cauterize. Because if you're just running forward, you won't get your health back fast enough. And with less special on the board, those roamers are very strong. So I'm
using damage.
Yeah,
I think overall
Sunbreakers are going to be good.
I'm telling you right now, Sunbreakers are like they're top tier for sweating. It's crazy. I mean, just in general, Sunbreakers are insane. Yeah. Like, I was saying this earlier to a friend of mine. People joke all the time. They're like, oh, Storm Trance is OP. Storm is like the best super in the game. It's
until they get sun charged.
Thank you.
Smacked into the sky.
So the Storm Trance can teleport around. Yay. The Sunbreaker can do a 10-meter knee dash, which at the same time can kill people in one hit, especially out of your super.
Yeah.
And they can throw hammers, which kill one hit across the map. They get the health back from getting the kills with hammers. They can Titan Skate. Like, it's disturbing. If you're in the market for a new subclass right now,
Fallout's going to sell
you Sunbreaker.
One.
I'm going to sell you one right here, buddy. Pick up the hammers. You will not be disappointed.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Beautiful. I'm going to edit that gif of Matt Damon from Saving Private Ryan where he's it's not even that
he's crying.
Yeah. He's crying. I'm just going to have hammers flying in the background.
Flying over him.
That's me whenever I hear the hammer ting in Crucible every time.
The gong.
You're my hammer? Yes. Yeah, you better run.
If I had a hammer.
Nerds.
Have we got anything else on subclasses that needs a good chin wagging about? Or is it time
please
to
help
move?
Sunsingers? Please.
Well, I don't know. Sunsingers have a huge resurgence in that because sticky grenades, Bones made this point earlier on in the chat, sticky grenades are on the up. And
yeah, they are.
A lot of very respectable sweat players say very similar things about sticky grenades, and that is that it's all to do with proximity. Because before you would have plenty more shotgun ammo, you could, in close quarters, you'd have an instant shutdown to anyone getting close to you, whereas now that has become reduced. So sticky grenades are on the up. I've seen a lot more of them.
And also think about trials. One of the biggest things in trials is if the enemy team gets a revive, you wanted to have a way to guaranteed put them down immediately. That's why you had revive sniping, you know what I mean? Or if you're a crazy person like me, revive shotgunning. And you just jump over their head and matador from a 90-degree angle.
Yeah,
because I worship the devil. But now that there's less special ammo in trials, you need to resort to, I mean, you can't like revive palindrome somebody, like it's not going to work like that. So if you have a fusion grenade, well, there's your answer. Like they pop up, just put it right on them with the magnetism, you're not gonna miss. They can't move.
Can't move. I got that happened to me with a Sunbreaker Titan in our first card yesterday morning, last night, within the last 12 hours.
So it's Tuesday. It's all just blurred together.
My hands are like that at the moment. Died, got instant res, couldn't even move, fusion raided. It was like so effective, you know, to
the best part of that is I was like, all right, sorry, I got your res. And I got him up. He got stuck and I tried to get away and it killed both of us.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's one way to do it because they were hard scoping him. I was trying to, you know, slide him. And that's like, well, that's one way to do it. Yeah. Right.
Super effective stuff, man. You know.
Can we really quickly, before we dive into questions, sorry, cool guy, were you going to say something?
Yeah, just one more thing. Sure. So now that we've kind of switched, you guys played trials a little bit. How do you feel about the red shields?
This is a really good question because
to be critical, I mean, just with the state of special ammo.
Yeah.
What do you think about it? Do you think they should be reduced because there's less special on the field?
Well, usually, we would get a pick, right? And we'd be looking at it. Normally, I mean, I had an icebreaker, of course. I was that guy, all right? I was that guy. But usually we had something on it, right? But you need a lot more teamwork because you can shred them if you team shot them. I think it adds another element to it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Before, it was just kind of just go in there with our shotgun, see what we can do. But I don't know. I just wanted to see what you guys thought.
What would be the immediate problems if res shields were removed for like trials, threes, that kind of thing? What would be like the immediate issue springing to mind?
Probably that if you were one man down, you would have extremely little hope of winning the round. Because at least if you go for the revive now, there's like the saving grace of like, okay, they're probably going to, they know that we're going to get the revive.
Yeah.
They're not stupid. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're going to push the advantage. And the only saving grace you have is the revive shield.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because if you were to, I wouldn't risk, I mean, I barely want to stick my neck out for Mega right now when we play Trials together. You're telling me that there's going to be no revive shield? I'm going to leave that bearded dude on the ground.
It's a detriment, all right?
I thought it was worth talking about. I heard a lot of people talking about it. So.
Well, it's definitely interesting because, you know, you want it to be a risk-reward. Like, is it worth it to revive? Is it worth it to not? And I think if you removed them entirely, then I'm, like Fallout just said, I'm never going to go for it because it doesn't give me any advantage.
Risk. Yeah.
And it's going to only probably charge the other teams. But at the same time, maybe the strength of them could be reevaluated. I think when they changed the revive shields the last time to make all snipers effective was a really good move. So I wouldn't mind if let's say, for example, they're lower strength. So there's that one or two invincibility frames, and then there's lower strength shields. That means if you revive someone when there's clearly a sniper staring at your friend, or there's a guy with a shotgun right next to you, that's your mistake, and that special ammo is going to punish that. If it's primaries, maybe you can play that risk and say, like, well, get up and get out of the way, or I need to use just a tiny bit of shield to escape. But that way, a team who's two or three guys who just have auto rifles or just have primaries aren't going like, all right, shoot at them. It's not going to do anything, but like, all right, they're up and they ran away. I think you should still be able to punish a res if you're in the position to do so. But again, if you took those away completely, it'd be like,
no point.
It's a very fine line.
I agree.
Discussing the bad points about taking them away, and then it's like, okay, what if they were either the timer for having the shield was reduced, or as Bone said, the strength was reduced a little. I think that those could be really, decent changes that would add that element of risk and, put a bit more tactic in there.
What if there was like a team limit, meaning that like for your team, the first one or two team revives, no matter who it is on the team, your teammate goes down, you pick them up, the first one or two, you get the red shield. But then the more it happens, maybe we just say one, you get a red shield. But then after that, it goes away.
That's a good point.
That way, like, you're kind of punished, quote unquote, for continually dying. And it's like, you get a shield, but you only get one. So spend it wisely, don't make the same mistake again. Otherwise you're going to be in trouble. I don't know. I'm just spitballing. But I like
No, that's a good discussion.
Some way to balance them out because, I agree. I think removing them entirely would not be the best way to balance that out because you just giving people no incentive to revive their friends. It's like if someone's down, okay, well, this is now a 2v3.
Yeah.
And then somebody else is down, okay, well, this is now a guaranteed 1v3, and there's nothing I can do. So,
see you in 2 minutes, Megan.
Removing them entirely. Yeah, basically.
Hush.
Ouch.
Hush.
Rip.
Leave him.
I love you, buddy.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
I don't even. I don't even care.
I do think they're in a very fragile place right now.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering if they've looked into that at all, but it's right where it's not too problematic, and if they'd lowered any much, because then you guys start thinking about like abilities more than just how can a gun start killing you, but like you want to be able to get out of an aftermath if they fist a havoc you too soon or something like that, or it's like is a grenade gonna kill you as soon as you spawn up because there's so much stuff that does damage beyond the time to kill of a primary. So they're in a very fragile position right now. Pun intended.
Well put.
I like that.
Well, thanks for bringing that up, cool guy.
There's a bunch more to talk about, but I think a lot of this is going to surface in Q&A, old questions
and answers.
So we could move to that now.
Do a little Q&A. I got them up right here, and I will read on Twitter, but if you have a juicy question for us and you're in the Twitch chat right now, feel free to lay it out, and we will hopefully pick it up.
Yep.
So, first question. From Handsome Dragon. Do you think sidearms need to be changed? Yes or no? Are they too strong?
I don't think they're too strong. I think
they're not too strong.
They negate the special ammo changes, and I think this is the hot topic. There's some effort been made to alter special ammo economy. And that's been very successful. However, sidearms break that because of this inherent, they spawn with ammo. Like, I think that's been clung to a little. And I just don't see any good reason to keep that. I think if they follow suit with all the other specials, then we've really got the interesting ammo economy that folks were looking forward to.
I'd be okay with them as they are if they behaved the same way they did before and they only had their little bit of reserve ammo in sixes.
Yeah,
exactly. But I think in trials, the issue is just that like now it's kind of like the only special that you can use to play. Like you don't get special very often now in trials at all. It doesn't bother me when I'm playing like control because I see special ammo crates enough that I can still use a shotgun if I want to, and I can be as effective as a sidearm, basically. But in trials, it's like a sidearm, and NLB or an icebreaker or something like that, or nothing like when it comes to special other than the first round.
Because in regular PvP, it's all about map control, and you have the entire duration of the game to work with your teammates to gain that control, and the ammo crates are going to pop up. In Trials, it resets every round, and you want, you don't want to camp at the back of your spawn like a weirdo. You want to run out and get map
especially
control.
Especially with the short round, because if you camp
it's a short round. You want to go out and you want to get map control, and because you spawn with no special ammo, it's not that sidearms are like mega strong. It's just that there's nothing else you can use. It's like I either have a sidearm, my Wormwood with ammo, or my Matador that I'm never going to fire a shot out
zero
of.
Zero ammo.
Because by the time the ammo crate pops up, the round's going to be over. You know what I mean?
Yes. That's my only... I like the special economy and sidearms pretty much as is. It just needs to be tweaked a little bit for Trials, maybe. Just to make it so that there's something else that people can do who just want to play a different way, maybe. Like, you can say other metas were dominated by the Matador, but if you wanted to use something else, you could. Now it's really hard to even use.
At least it was there.
There you like, go. If you wanted to go against the grain, you just can't even use the other thing that you want to use most of the time.
That's my only trouble.
A buddy of mine made
is if you're seeing too much Wormwood, use Trespasser. Sidearms are not overpowered right now. You know, a lot of people complaining about them. It's not that they're overpowered. They're just overrepresented in the Crucible right now because everybody's using them because they have ammo. Your shotgun doesn't.
Yeah, that's it.
That's literally it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of special ammo out there too. I like the 60-second. Another thing is you find yourself reloading a lot. So like I brought the Yasmin, right? Cocoon, right? What if Cocoon was on some weapons?
Reloading
is right?
So
wow.
Second wind on my boots is now a mandatory perk because I am so done with like the Matador, like one shell, two shell. Like, I need second wind because like you spawn up, I'm like, where is the goddamn ammo? And I run over while the timer's going out. I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, let's go.
We need that like transition elevator music, like da 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 da. Okay, back.
It's just like that. But yeah.
A buddy of mine made a really good suggestion about trial special ammo economy, and I've actually seen the same suggestion surface a lot on Twitter. And that is, instead of having special ammo crates spawn, you have a finite amount of ammo that you spawn in with for each round. So, obviously, this isn't going to be in a huge amount of abundance, but whatever special that you have equipped for the beginning of that round, you start off with a finite amount of ammo, so you use it wisely, you know, and you don't have an infinite supply of it, or, you know, the special crates don't spawn. I thought that was, you know, for trials, as a trial-specific kind of mechanic, that could work quite well. And a chill filled the room.
Yeah.
Good question. I've never thought of that.
Good question from Handsome Dragon. Yeah. Okay, so here's a question that I thought was going to be a bad question, but the second half, I think, saves it. It's a question from Subcult619, and he says, what infuriates you in the current meta, and how are you countering it? Now, if that question had only been, what pisses you off in the current meta, I would have skipped over it.
Yeah,
because that's a scrub question. We don't complain. We adapt around here. But he threw in that, how do you counter it? That I like. That opens up a good discussion. Anyone want to handle that? Take it away here.
This is difficult because there's not much that's infuriating me about the balance at the moment. The only thing that I get really like emotionally affected by is matchmaking, because that's a different discussion, maybe for a different time. But
How do you counter it?
By not
counter the matchmaking.
By walking away from the PlayStation and going to do something else like embroidery, knitting, and walking on the beach.
Wonderful.
The only thing that infuriates me ever is when it infuriates me, but not in the sense that I think it's like broken and I need to counter it, is just when I get killed by a universal remote because I'm just like, just give up. Just stop. Just stop playing this way.
Stop trying to make it
go. Yeah. That's the only thing that makes me angry about it. And my counter it by not getting close to them and just trespassing them.
Mega, do you want to do Rumble later?
Yeah.
Shifty eyes.
The two things I've seen are sidearms and sticky grenades. Those are the only two that I really see a lot of people talking about as far as annoying, right?
Yeah.
They've always been a part of the game, both of them. I mean, when I see a Sunsinger sticking me, and when I see him, I'm not even going to like we're not even going towards that guy anymore. We're going to keep it at a, yeah. at a distance.
Just stay away.
Yeah.
I like you, cool guy. Yeah. Bring in the rational, mentality.
Oh, man. Yeah. Calm
there you go. If here. if you get really pissed off by getting hit by a fusion grenade, change up your tactics a little bit. You
throw
know
it
mean?
On.
You got it.
No mercy.
Fire with fire. Or, you know, it's really easy to identify enemy players. This isn't like Halo, where it's like, is that the red Spartan that I don't like, or is it the other red Spartan that I don't like?
It's the other red Spartan.
You see the warlock, and he's got the shader on and the helmet that you recognize. You're like, oh, that's the son of a bitch who's been fusioning with. So play a little more cautious if you see him. You know what I mean? Stick to cover. Try to give him a little pop shot action with your pally or whatever gun you use if you're not meta horror like me.
Yeah.
And just play it safe. Try to bait out the sticky, and then when he frozen whiffs, then you know it's your time to shine, baby.
Or when it time. Or when it magnetizes to you around the corner and just grabs you
around your head,
then you uninstall the game. And
yeah, and then you just quit and you tweet at Bungie every single day about how much you hate them and their poopy faces.
Oh, it's their fault.
The exact step by step process.
Yes.
Here's a question I've seen asked by a lot of people. It's like difficult to pinpoint who's asking it, but should No Land Beyond be nerfed? And I think my feeling on that at the moment is it doesn't need a nerf. It just needs its, would you call it a glitch or the fact that it's broken? I don't know, but like the fact that it has...
The gun can jam every now and then?
Well, there's no... Oh, like, it has a reload glitch.
He means that it doesn't
glitch,
actually...
And, oh, the reload glitch?
And,
oh, I love
and the
reload the
most important
glitch.
One, it has visual flinch, but no mechanical flinch. I think those two things
That's
are
true,
breaking man. What it was intended as. And I think that is when people want like a nerf, inverted commas, they just want that bringing in line with the rest of the snipers. Like, No Land breaks the sniper flinch issue because it has a visual flinch but not a mechanical flinch, and that is perceived as a glitch or it being broken. And then the fact that you can do this sprint reload thing as well, so you can shoot it a hell of a lot faster than it was originally designed to do. So I think those are the two things that cause people to scream nerf, you know.
Yeah, but like everyone, reload cancels every other gun.
Yeah. Leave that alone on the No Land. That's not a glitch. It's a feature.
I love it.
It's a feature.
It reminds
it's
me of
you're supposed
it's
to.
Yeah, everybody does it's, that. I do that all the time. I'm super good. And I mean,
that's like
I reload
that's metagame.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I have a problem with it. I'm just joking.
I think we need to monitor the numbers a little bit more. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If we like stay the course, if we notice that No Land Beyond in the usage department is getting like really out of control, I'm like, yeah, maybe it's time to take a look. I don't know. I think the gun is super fun. Maybe I'm talking out of my butt here, but I have a
lot of fun with that gun. I started using it heavily halfway through Rise of Iron. Like, so it's just been on my Guardian for a long time now. And yeah, it's definitely convenient. I think it was a little comfy. I'm trying to think of what the word is. It was a comfort. It was a fallback for me in this new special ammo trials meta, because I went in and I played probably 25 games this weekend or so, just messing around, choosing different loadouts just to see what felt like anything, you know, like what was working. I had Thorn and a shotgun on for about 7 games and I did not fire the shotgun once. And I was just like, well, what the fuck is the point of using this then? And so I switched and I was like, all right, at least I can give us some sort of advantage. And I like using No Land Beyond. So it just felt comfortable to me. But I don't know if it's 100%.
I think it falls into the same issue as the sidearm one we were just talking about, where there's just not like a lot of other special options. Like, it's not that NLB is broken, it's that the special economy maybe just needs to be tweaked in trials.
Well, we have to keep an eye on it, because my one worry is that it may get out of hand, because again, how the special economy works. Before February, if someone on the other team was giving you a problem with the No Land Beyond, be like, okay, I'm just gonna surf up and like matador you from downtown, like nothing personal, kid.
Little high five.
But now in this meta, I mean, there's a lot less special ammo running around, especially in trials. And if you can roll with No Land Beyond, you got the wormwood in your back pocket, you're pretty confident that no one is going to roll up on you and shotgun you in the grill. So your enemy only has, you know, like medium range, depending on what they're using. Maybe they have a sniper, but again, they're going to lose ammo with it at the beginning of every round while you're sitting pretty. with a long range, awesome gun, No Land Beyond, and you got the coverage for up close every round guaranteed with your Wormwood.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, Iron Wreath.
Or Iron Wraith, which is the superior sidearm.
Yes. What about Havoc Pigeon? I like the Havoc Pigeon.
I'm more of a Binding Blaze type of guy.
Oh, okay.
Is that the Iron Banner one?
So an aristocrat.
The Iron Banner one, yeah.
So I think it's a fine line. I mean, the players that are truly good with that No Land Beyond, dude, they worked at it. And I respect that, right? Yeah. But would you guys say that the majority of No Land Beyond users are Night Stalkers? What do you think about
personally,
that?
Personally, I find that, yeah. I think No Land Beyond.
I wonder if majority of snipers are Night Stalkers.
Yeah.
They got the shade, right? Because you can
be so carefree. It's like, oh, I can challenge a lane because I can roll the dice. And if I get a kill, great. Screw them. But if I get a miss, who cares? Because I can just shade step right around the corner and then reset the clock. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fine line. It's tough, you know?
It definitely is, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, I was using it a little bit with, I like sniping on my Warlock because I still use Ophidian Aspect 100% of the time. I haven't put on a different Warlock exotic since I got the Ophidian. And I do think it's pretty nice to have fast reload and not literally quick draw anymore, but the switch to my sidearm being real fast. So I think it works good on Warlocks, but I can't remember the last time I did it on like a Titan. I can't remember the last time I sniped on a Titan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's just me. Because it's the most common sniper that kills me right now doesn't make me feel like I'm getting sniped every 2 seconds really either. You know, like when I get sniped, it's Icebreaker or NLB, but I'm not getting sniped an amount where I'm like, this is broken beyond belief. Everybody's using this nonstop.
Cool, most of the time, if you catch them, if they're like in rotation, if you catch them and they miss, they're done anyway. You know,
yeah.
So that's another thing you have to consider too.
If you're in Crucible,
such a good point about who uses it though is that people learn it, and that's literally like one of the dumbest things is like, oh that's because it's a no skill. Well, like,
not really.
Please feel free. Like go put up 30 kills with No Land Beyond and show me.
Go be the next KJ Hovey.
Yeah, like
I got like one headshot with it in a match the other day, Bones. So
and it was while your controller was sitting on the desk because it takes no skill.
Exactly.
It's reaching over to get a scoop of hummus, and you're like, oh sweet, I got one.
Oh my lordy. Okay, here's a very important question from Kick Aha. Blue cheese or ranch? I will shut this entire podcast down right now.
How would you even do that? Story's the one who
you're not even supposed to be here. We were trying to kick you
you're
off
not even
within
supposed
the first
to be
minute.
Here.
I'm going to
replace you with a cooler gun
I'm
guy.
I'm
going to
break it all in half by saying both. I have both of those things.
Oh my God.
And I'd have both of them at the same
time. I'm going to go, I'm going to break it the other way. Neither. I don't like either of them.
What?
Go fuck yourselves.
Oh my God, this is not what I was expecting. We got one
paradox
from both and one from neither?
I like both, but for different scenarios.
Yeah, blue cheese for wings, ranch for salad.
There you go.
There you go.
Dude, cool guy.
Or vice versa. Depending.
This guy is like as cool as a cucumber, man. He's just like, he's got an answer to every question.
He's a cool guy.
He's the cool guy, man. He's the cool guy. You just turned my world upside down. I was going to go blue cheese, lights out, but now I'm like, are there things that I would rather put ranch on?
Yeah, Red Robin French fries.
Red Robin's French fries.
Ooh, all right.
God, that sounds good. Sick. We don't get that here.
Eat your salads with a nice light oil-based dressing, you monsters, all right?
You barbarians.
That balsamic
look, I'm from the Midwest, all right? Ranch dressing is like in my bloodstream.
I'm sitting in Indiana right now. My ass is firmly planted in the Midwest.
We're not a cultured people.
Mega's just like, I need to be different from everyone around me, but at least in some way.
Yes.
And that's going to be my preference of dressing.
I matter. I'm an individual.
There are dozens
Bring
of
me
us.
The oils.
There are dozens
there
of
are
us.
Dozens of us. Fallout, can you not ask one that's going to send us into a frenzy? What else do we got? Do we have anything?
No matter what
more?
We ask, we're going to backtrack and sidetrack and
that's true.
All kinds of different
I'm surprised
tracks.
Pokemon hasn't been brought up at some point.
I know. We're trying
well,
to,
now
we're
it
trying
has
to
been.
Avoid all Pokemon questions.
Cool guy, what's your favorite Pokemon?
Oh, yeah,
Oh, geez. Like, you're going to put me on tilt.
This is the one thing he's not cool
with. He's not prepared to answer.
I'm going to say Blastoise just because I was just on a flight, and I'm not sure anybody's evolved a Blastoise up in the air. I think I might be the only one. So... I'm going to go Blastoise.
Wow. That's like better than the Mile High Club, the first person to.
Right? Blastoise Mile High Club.
You got a Blastoise mid-air. Wow.
I love it.
Okay. Do we have another question to.
I'm looking.
Here's one for Bones. What other sidearms are worth using?
Sidearms worth using: Trespasser, Iron Wraith, Wormwood,
Havoc Pigeon,
Binding Blaze, mm-hmm. and Teacup Tempest. I actually like some of the higher impact ones. I know they're not 100% ideal, but there's nothing ideal about sidearm. I mean, there's a lot of options. It's one of those. I mean, you use what roll is on it. I think a sidearm with quick draw is real handy because they can be pretty snappy. And a sidearm with high cal and hidden hand is really all you got to find. And they always come with like sure shot or true sight or whatever. They always have the good scopes. Mm-hmm. I use the Iron Wreath, but specifically the roll that came with the vendors and the first Iron Banner
of
year two. And everyone got that Nerwin's Mercy and the Iron Wreath. Those were the first two guns. And I've never needed another sidearm, even if I mix it up.
Well put, my friend.
Hi.
Thank you.
And he mics drop and then he's out.
I'm just looking at questions and stuff, but I think we've answered a whole lot of them. Yeah,
we've
on Twitter.
Answered a whole bunch. Yeah,
yeah.
And we've got so much more to talk about as this sort of settles in.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Because it's it's only been like freaking 5
I know,
days.
It's just been days.
There's more changes. I mean, Cosmo released a post on Bungie.net saying that there is going to be some changes and. Like, we suspected that these changes might be a little sooner than the usual, you know, like every 4, 5, 6 months. So, you know, there's things that are going to be tweaked. So, again, there's going to be even more changes to talk about there. And I think it's going to be a dominant factor on the podcast for at least the next few weekends until, you know, the dust completely settles.
Oh, yeah. Until we're back to being bored and wanting change and yelling at Bungie.
Talking more about Pokemon.
Wonderful.
Gen 2 just came out on Pokemon Go.
Oh my god.
Son.
I got a Murkrow last night. I was stoked.
Oh, what do you mean?
I'm going to have to start involving myself in Pokemon, man. Otherwise, I'm going to find my position on this podcast get swiped away.
Get hip.
I haven't touched it ever. I know nothing about Pokemon.
God damn it. I mean, cool guy's looking to replace you. He's also got a hat on. I mean, he's smooth.
That's true.
That's pretty much everything. Oh, man. Yeah. Just need a hat.
He's got the green really background. Time, it's like exactly the
really
same.
Have. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
You're actually blowing cool my mind right now.
Low-key, the new story.
Yeah, man.
No, it's younger, handsomer.
It's American story.
Yeah. Story
American story.
Job setting all this up.
Yeah. American.
He actually set up my Skype, man. I've never done this before. Like I was telling him, you know, first time caller, long time listener. So I really appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah, right on, man. You know? Well, hey, you make a lot of YouTube content for Planet Destiny on your own channel. What are you working on now, or do you want to drop like a little preview of maybe your next video coming out?
A couple things I'm working on is spawn rotations. Learning just
very
how
nice.
How it works and how to pretty consistently see those spawns and where you should be rotating and why and how. And a lot of that leads to good KD games, good games, just knowing that and getting the leg up on spawns. One thing, and I think I'm going to review the Hawk Moon next, or review a couple weapons, just kind of see where they are. That's really all it's lined up.
Nice. Right,
that's some good stuff.
And if you want to see an interview, we did an interview with Cool Guy a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
That's up on Planet Destiny. We're talking about meta and stuff like that and the stuff that he does. So if you want to go and have a look at that, that's a new series we've got there, and it's been pretty well received. So go and check that out.
When does your beach swimwear calendar come out, Cool Guy?
Oh, gotta get with my agent, man. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't even know. Like, so
advanced information.
Keep me posted on that. On my Amazon wish list. It is the only item on that list.
Oh boy. Okay, guys, this was fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think
I'm exhausted.
I think
is that your way of saying end it, Bones?
Yeah. Bones is exhausted of all of us.
This was fun, and in that spirit, I would like to end this fun immediately.
No, actually, right now,
time to go.
I've been podcasting all weekend and obviously talking about this patch for the entire time of those things. And last night we recorded Crucible Radio, and I have some thoughts. Like I have some stronger critiques of this patch that didn't come up today, but there was so much other interesting topics brought up, like revive shields you know, the changes like Nolan and stuff like that. And so the fact that there's so much to talk about is really just overwhelming, but in a great way, because I'd rather be overwhelmed and have more to say next week than be like, what's next?
What the hell are we talking about?
Say something in the top, or like, what's going to happen?
I think Bungie hinted at some sort of Irish thing with the word green, maybe, and this week is Bungie. Like,
yeah,
maybe. Yeah.
Okay, for Blazing Hot
I'm
Dog,
ready for that new
Rusty
event.
Pew Pew. Okay, he's asked about 10 million times. I thought, I can't leave him dry.
I was waiting for it, too. I was like, is he going to
be waiting for that?
Pew,
yeah.
Pew Pew. Let's have someone else say it as well. Let's get some kind of
I don't want to say that phrase.
Say it. Say it, whore. Say
it. Now.
It makes people
it's
happy.
Happening right now.
Rusty Pew Pew.
Thank you.
Here, I'll say it, too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in for Planet Destiny Podcast episode 109. Thank you extra special much, is that a phrase, for our guest Cool Guy for hopping on and joining us and talking about these awesome patch notes or whatever it was we talked about for the last hour and a half. If you want to check out Cool Guy, again, same thing with everybody here on the Planet Destiny Podcast, go to the Planet Destiny YouTube, and I'm sure he's right there on the sidebar. So please, go check him out. Give him a subscribe, a follow, a like, a late night text message.
That smash button.
Thunderstrike that like button.
Get in there.
Yep.
I don't know why you guys aren't saying like panic smash or something like that. That actually a term.
Fist of panic. Am I right?
Yeah.
Fist of panic.
Aggressive triple down. Oh my god, what a fist of panic. Am I right?
Panic Nova. That sub button. And we will see you guys next week. Same time, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Good night.